From Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to join me in our prayer preparation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Today we begin a new series with the start of Advent. We have several special Sundays that I know you're looking forward to, like our children's play and the cantata with the choir. But around those things, we are going to look at the story of Joseph, the earthly stepfather of Jesus. We'll explore this key character all the way to Christmas Eve. Now, you may be thinking, how much is there to know about Joseph? He's probably best known as the guy whose baby was born in a barn because he forgot to make reservations at the inn. And often the focus is on Mary. The Gospel of Luke has much to say about her, with nearly two chapters describing things from her perspective. But in Matthew, we find things from Joseph's view. It's short and to the point, like many men that I know in conversation, but I hope you'll discover that no man played as large a role in Jesus's life as Joseph. Even though he never speaks a word of dialogue in the Bible, there is much we can glean from the few details we have about him in the Gospels. We're going to try and read between the lines of Scripture to discover what God has to say to us in our lives. And though I believe we can all hear something from God in this series, I think it will speak particularly to husbands and fathers, stepfathers and grandfathers, even men who mentor others. So let's get started. I have to be honest, I've never really given much thought to the character of Joseph. Certainly he had a big influence on Jesus, but I've never thought of him as more than the guy in the manger scene. I know that he was a carpenter, but what else is there to know about him? If you look at ancient history, there was this belief that developed that Joseph was not a typical husband of Mary. See, some wrote in what's called the Apocrypha. You can think of that as a kind of ancient fan fiction, that Mary was raised by priests. There's no evidence of this in Scripture, but they say Mary lived in the temple from 3 to 12 years old, and then when she was old enough, she had to be married like the other girls her age. So the priests gathered widowers from the community, older men whose wives had already died, and picked a husband for Mary from among them. The legend goes that the priest was told to gather the staff, the walking stick of each man, and to pray over them. When the priest finished and handed the staff back to each person, Joseph's staff turned into a dove and landed on his head. Pretty spectacular, right? Though Joseph resisted it, he eventually accepted his responsibility to marry the young girl. Again, this is not from the Bible. This is a story someone wrote 150 years after Jesus. Another 300 years later, people were writing even more about Joseph, saying that Joseph himself was a priest. This was all to make a point. Joseph was a holy, older man who had already raised a family and reluctantly took Mary as his wife. They say Joseph was 90 years old and didn't treat Mary like a wife. He treated her like a daughter or a granddaughter. He protected her virtue. She was perpetually a virgin, and the marriage was never consummated. Now, today, many people don't accept this line of thinking. A far more likely scenario is that Mary was not raised in the temple and that she had an arranged marriage with Joseph. Joseph would not have been in his 90s, but instead a teenager just like Mary. You can even see this discrepancy in artwork. Here's a painting from the 16th century. This is called The Holy Family with Dog. And Joseph is bearded like all men of his time. He has a few wrinkles from the sleepless nights with his infant, but he's a young man. Now, look at this next painting. This is St. Joseph with the infant Jesus, a painting from the same century. Joseph looks a little older here, doesn't he? Some feel that Mary must have remained a virgin, so Jesus' brothers and sisters in the scriptures must be step-siblings. They are from Joseph's previous marriage. That's why he's such an old man here. They are not half-siblings, as in later children of Mary and Joseph. And you could read the scriptures and come to either conclusion, but what I see is a very messy picture of Jesus' family. If you have divorce or remarriage in your family, if you have adopted children or siblings from another marriage, Jesus and his earthly stepfather Joseph, they know something about your situation. I've always thought of my family as very typical. My mom and dad raised three boys and a girl from birth. They provided food and shelter. And even though they moved 15 times in 15 years and our house burned down once, I've always had the stability of mom and dad. It wasn't until I was older that I realized my dad's side of the family was anything but typical. Aunts and uncles were married, divorced, and remarried. Cousins I thought of as biological family had no blood relation to me. My uncle was divorced and remarried before I was even born, so that made his first daughter a half-cousin and his second a step-cousin. My dad's sister adopted four children, three as babies, but one when she was almost a teen. Surprise, the new baby in the family is 12. On my mom's side of the family, my half-aunt is twice widowed. My adopted cousin was emancipated from my aunt and uncle. This is not foreign stuff to Jesus. He had the same kind of complicated family history when it came to his stepfather, Joseph. We'll explore this more later in the series, but for now I want to draw attention to something about Joseph that no one disputes, and that's his job. Joseph was a carpenter. In fact, in the Catholic Church, Joseph is considered the patron saint of workers. That's because carpentry is manual labor. It's hard work. In today's scripture, we hear this question asked by the people of his hometown, Nazareth. Isn't this Jesus the son of a carpenter? Where did these teachings come from? And they use the fact that they know his father's occupation and his siblings as a reason to be offended by him. It's like they are trying to discredit him, asking how could someone whose father is a manual laborer be wise and powerful? How could someone whose family is known to us be great? Many of you will know this. It wasn't just Joseph that was a carpenter. Joseph had taught his son the trade as well, which made Jesus a carpenter. In Galilee, where Jesus was raised, most homes were made of stone or mud. So being a carpenter didn't mean he built homes. Instead, it meant he built doors and shutters for homes. Most of the time of a carpenter was actually spent on something else entirely: furniture, chests, tables, tools, and yokes. It almost gives a different spin to Jesus' words, "Come to me, you with heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Some carpenters were master builders. They would have other people working underneath them so they could oversee the project and manage others, but that's not who Joseph was. We know this. He was no bigwig. He was a simple carpenter who taught his son to be the same. Some carpenters at a furniture store were told that Joseph, the father of Jesus, had the same job as them. They were asked what insight they could give about him in his profession, and this is what they said. He was a man's man. He was probably way tougher than anyone else here. He wouldn't take shortcuts. He was patient, and he was kind. Another person said he was smart, diligent, and a good teacher, striving to do well. And because of that, he was an exceptionally good father. I hear it again, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What do we see in God choosing Joseph to be Jesus' earthly father and raise him? Well, God could have chosen a priest. God could have chosen a lawyer or a doctor or anything. And yet he chooses a humble carpenter. Why? It's like the story of Samuel, a prophet that God told to go anoint the next king of Israel. He knew one of Jesse's children would be the next king, so Jesse gets his children and presents his firstborn. He's the oldest, he's tall and handsome, and Samuel thinks, this must be the one. This has got to be the future king. But God says, not that one. The second comes, and God says, not that one either, nor the third or the fourth or the fifth. Jesse is almost out of children when finally Samuel says, is there no one else? And Jesse has one last son, the youngest, out in the field tending the sheep. They go and get him, and as soon as Samuel sees him, God says, he's the one. He's little, he doesn't seem like much, and looks different because he's a redhead. As Samuel looks on this scrawny and unimpressing looking child, God speaks again. The Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearances, but the Lord looks on the heart. When we know this, we know there is more to Joseph than meets the eye. God saw the heart of the one that would raise Jesus, the chosen of God. There are only 16 verses in the Bible that mention Joseph by name, but I would imagine his influence was much bigger than just those few verses. When we see Jesus at work in the scriptures, we see the heart of Joseph, the teachings of a father who loved and shaped his son. Fathers play a profound role in our lives. For some, it is not such a rosy picture. Some have struggled with pain and difficulties from the example of dad, while others have a positive image. Whatever your own father's role in your life, they shape us in ways that are profound, ways we don't even realize. Some have lost their father and think of him every day. Others saw examples of compassion and courage and social justice. There's at least one person here today who comes to church because their father brought them to Sunday school every week. For me, my dad taught me one very clear lesson from his life. He always went to church, always had Bible study in our home, always prayed for us and with us kids. He taught me, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Paul Vitz, a New York University psychologist, says, a child's view of their father is intimately connected to his or her understanding of God. In Joseph, we see a carpenter who shaped his son. When Jesus told the story of the prodigal son with a father who unconditionally accepted his wayward son back home, was Jesus telling us about the kind of love he experienced from his father? When Jesus told us, do to others as you would have them do to you, was he describing the values of Joseph in his business and family life? Jesus certainly learned many things from his father, and I think we can see it reflected in his life and ministry. Joseph would have been a model of love, faith, and fatherhood. So now the challenge is issued to us. Do we shape others as Joseph shaped Jesus? Maybe you have children and so you are challenged to model these same attributes. Some have nieces and nephews, or you work with young people or help at Sunday school or youth group. What are you teaching these young people? What image of God are you planting in them? We've all been tasked with this responsibility to nurture the next generation. We are called to raise children of God, to show them a picture of God's love and mercy. That means we live in love with God so others know what it looks like. When we do that, we are following the example of a righteous man, Joseph of Nazareth. Amen.